Welcome to WSG's podcast.
Hello, Lakshmi.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Okay, today I'm so excited because we're talking about a subject that is, I think everyone is anticipating us to talk about this.
Yep, correct.
Divorce.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Today's topic is going to be about divorce.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about when do we actually resort to divorce? What is it that you can't work things out and has to resort to divorce? What are the things?
Okay, so for divorce, let's look at the top of the list. The one main popular, the popular reason for divorce is loss of interest. Loss of interest in each another. And that plays a part in a lot of things like infidelity, abuse, and all those things. Yep. So when I say loss of interest, it doesn't necessarily have to end result in cheating. It can also end up in a mutual separation.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you got any experience with divorce, like with yourself or with parents or friend, or you know, have you come across that situation personally?
Say this, I think I should have a master's degree in divorce or something like that, but I have faced divorce twice in my life. One, the very first incident was when my parents got divorced when I was 12, so I was a child of divorce back then. And then in 2014 to 15, I divorced myself. So yeah, if you talk about experience, I do have a lot of experience in divorce. But the thing is that it was difficult. It was difficult as a child because it's a known fact that for those who know me, at least, it's a known fact that I'm daddy's girl. I've been very close to my dad, and I couldn't accept the separation. It took a hard toll on me. I don't understand why I did it back then, but then, you know, it caused a lot of behavioral problems, a lot of issues with my behavior, my respect, and all that. So I did a lot of shit that I don't think that I would have done if my dad was around. And then when I faced divorce, I think, to be all honest, when I got divorced, I was the happiest person.
Mm-hmm.
I was finally free from an unhappy relationship. And the problem with me is that because I saw what my parents went through when they were divorced, I told myself to actually suck it up. You know, telling myself this is normal in a marriage, you know, I should adjust for my husband, blah, 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 blah. Until one day I just passed. And it took some time for me to actually understand, you know. I don't deserve this. I deserve better. If I provide you with this, you should be providing me with this, and that. And I got to a point where I was doing all the giving, receiving. And yeah, I decided, you know what, this is not what I wanted in life. And I just stepped out of my marriage. And I actually had a child when I stepped out of marriage. So my eldest son was actually 3 to 4 years old back then. So it's difficult.
One of the things that I think affects, I mean, everyone's concern is that, okay, now I go through a divorce. It's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of time. People are going to look down on me. How am I going to answer my family members, my friends? Will they look at me differently? This whole concern about people who are not involved in a marriage, like how people are going to look at me and everything, becomes a very primary concern to the woman who's actually engaging in a divorce, right?
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
As women, we like to weigh our losses and our gains after when we dive into such things like divorce and stuff like that. So what do you think is, how do you actually like convince or like encourage a woman who's actually going through divorce? Because she needs to do it for herself. Before everyone else, she needs to do it for herself. And it's so hard to convince a woman that divorce is something that she needs, because you know, she starts to think, oh, what if my child doesn't have a father? You know, my child is born into a broken family. What will happen to the child? Or if, let's say, she doesn't have a child, she just thinks about herself. Oh, now that I'm a divorcee, what are my chances of actually meeting someone again and falling in love? You know?
Yeah, true. But I think, I believe that these concerns don't apply nowadays than it did before. What I feel is that a woman should always think about their mental peace first. So the mental peace should come first. Whether you have kids or no kids, your mental peace should come first. So if you're making a decision, don't make it because your XYZ and your XYZ relatives are looking down on you, might look down on you, or you know, your ABC friends will say, oh, what happened, why are you getting divorced and look down on you. In the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because it's your own two legs. You're going to stand on your own two legs. You have to make the decision on whether you can make it on your own.
True.
Yeah.
I know the procedure, the process is actually difficult, the whole divorce, because we have two versions, right? We have a contested divorce and then we have an uncontested divorce.
Correct.
So normally the contested divorce is extremely taxing because you have children, you have assets, you have a lot of things that you need to come down to, like a mutual agreement, so that this can go smoothly, right? That whole process itself is very taxing on women. And I think a lot of women are stuck in their marriage because they don't want to go through that. You know, I don't want to go through the mental stress, fighting and all these things. Can I just live with the guy for how he is? But aren't we compromising our happiness if we settle for that? Like, settle
okay
for that.
Let me just pose the question back to you. If I told you, okay, let's just say, for an example, you are in an unhealthy relationship. You want out, but you're thinking about all these hurdles that you need to pass, and that's making you hesitant. Let me ask you one thing. Would you rather spend $3,000 and end it in 6 months, or suffer with the same person for another 6 years?
The $3,000 deal sounds good to me. But the thing is that, come on, let's be honest, it's not going to cost you $3,000. So what happens to the woman who's not working? Where is she going to get this money from? And if a guy knows that, hey, there's no way this woman is going to get the money to fund the divorce, I will just bring it, I will just, you know, abuse the situation. You know, there are men like that. Okay, they make the women, like, they don't allow the woman to work, or maybe the woman cannot work. And so she feels that she's so dependent on the men that she ends up just settling for it. Okay, she looks past all the infidelity. She looks past all his flaws to even make the relationship work. And she just be in that kind of a marriage. Right, okay. That is so sad.
I'm only saying this based on what we have in Singapore. But in Singapore, I don't think any woman should be facing the issue, because there are a lot of help out there. And number one, Singapore has a law protecting women, which is the Women's Charter. And even if the woman is not working, or they find it difficult, there's always, the government has actually opened up this legal clinic called Legal Aid. which also helps in divorce as well. So if, okay, based on my experience, I spent most close to $4,000 on a divorce from a private lawyer. But I do know of people who went to legal aid and only ended up spending $200. And that $200, they managed to get assistance from the self-help groups in Singapore. So if you ask me, finance should not be a reason why you're still sticking in an unhealthy marriage. Finance should never be a reason, especially in Singapore. Yeah. So finance should never be an issue. In the end of the day, let me just ask you one thing. Would the money matter if your life ended? Would the money matter?
You're not bringing a dime out when you die. So
yeah. So would the money matter?
It wouldn't matter.
If something bad happens, or you know, something gets messy, and you know, a life is lost in that process, will the money matter then? At that point of time, I don't want to see women sitting down crying and say, I should have left him. In Singapore, especially in Singapore, women have this option. So if you ask me, if there's any woman out there who's suffering, who feels that they're not good enough, they don't deserve to be in the relationship and all that, they should step out. They should try to make it work as much as they can, but everybody has their limits. And, you know, if you feel that it's not working and, you know, you're not normally happy, you're not generally happy, you always seem upset, you always seem stressed, you always seem like some kind of in an emotional wreck, step out. Do not be afraid to step out, because the thing is that in the end of the day, your emotional health plays a part on how you are. And if you have kids, the emotional health also reflects on them as well.
Good point.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, we have a group, right? We have a WhatsApp group, right?
Yep, correct.
And a lot of these women come from they have different issues. We're talking about like probably divorce. People are going through separation. People are going through mother-in-law issues. People are going through pregnancy issues. People are going through so many different kinds of issues. But sadly, majority of them are going through issues with their partner.
Correct.
There's only a minority who's going through issues that doesn't involve anyone else. It's just a self problem, you know, like probably from eating disorders to I don't know, mental disorders. I don't say mental disorders, like, you know, we don't have like lunatics or in our group or anything. It's just that
more of emotional stress.
Yeah, people who are going through emotional stress and stuff like that. But majority of them, their issue is the person that they are with.
Correct.
And people don't find it easy to walk out from such relationships, which is sad, which is the hard truth. And as an outsider, you think that, hey, this person is not treating you well. Why does it take you so long to leave that toxic relationship, right?
That's the problem. That's the problem in women. And to be honest, in some men as well. They try, they try and they try and they try. They always, this is the mantra that I think our grandparents and our parents have instilled in some of us. It's like, you know, he did it one time. And right now, when we see this kind of issue, we always tell people, even in our last episode, if he does it once, he will do it again. But then, back then, when you see our parents and grandparents growing up having super long marriages, they always tell that, you know, whatever it is, it can be worked through. You can work through this. You can make it work. And to be honest, that's what a lot of women try to do. They always tell themselves, okay, this is not going to happen again. I'm going to talk to him about this. And then they put themselves in the emotional state. You know what I mean?
So, but everyone has a threshold, right? Like, not everyone is built to endure and like built to suffer throughout their entire lives. Like, everyone has this, like, there's a limit to what I can tolerate. And then there's this thing that, okay, yes, our parents said or whoever said that, If he does it once, he is capable of doing it twice, yes. But if we have so much invested, that means we have a family together, we have kids together, we have a house together, we have got extended family, then it's worth to give that dying relationship a chance, right? Or give him a chance to repent, redeem himself, be a better person. But how many chances, right?
That's why you said, okay, let's talk about, you just mentioned threshold, right?
Yeah.
So every single individual person has a different kind of threshold, has a different kind of limit set from themselves.
Tolerance level.
Tolerance level, yeah. Correct. Yeah. Let me ask you, but out of all everybody who's going through this, not everybody, but out of all women who are going through this, how many people actually do have the courage to step outside? Everybody have tolerance level, but do everybody have courage as well?
I mean, not many people have it. They become victims of their own divorce. They don't really, they sympathize, they pity themselves too much. They blame themselves. They look down on themselves. They shell themselves out from society because of all these expectations and this requirement and these judgments and all that. But courage is something that I think it's either you have it in you or you don't have it in you.
Yes, but the thing is that what you say is true. It's either you have it in you or you don't have it in you.
Or you don't.
But I feel that for those who don't have the courage, you need to start building up on it. The problem is for people who do not have the courage to actually move forward, what happens is that they are affected by their surroundings. It's not that they don't have the courage to do it, but they are so worried about what others might say, what others might think, what others might, you know, look at them as, and then they don't do it. So I feel that courage is something that they should build up on. Courage is something that they should build up on. It's one thing to stay in an abusive relationship, but how long can you stay? How long can you be treated?
You know, there was once, right? I was in this toxic relationship. I know, okay, this isn't a divorce, but what I'm saying is that I was in a relationship with this person, and I don't know why. I just felt that this person is my person. So that means I am the one who's supposed to be forgiving and give him ample chances so that he will understand my worth one day. You know? And then I talked about it to my friend. And the only thing my friend told me, which woke my senses up, was, do you enjoy being abused? Like, do you have an addiction of getting abused? Like somehow or other, it makes you feel alive or makes you feel that you're useful or what? Do you actually enjoy getting abused? Because you don't seem to realize that it's not good for you. You seem to be like, hey, it's normal, it's acceptable, I'm cool with it, you know? And that woke me up because I was like, hey, you know, as long as I'm okay with him abusing me and I'm giving him more chances, I'm always going to be like that. Our relationship is always going to be like that. It's not improve. Right.
True. It's a sad truth, but it does happen. And the problem is, no matter how modern people get, no matter how much we fight for women's rights and everything, we do have that handful out there who feels that it is their husband's rights to treat them a certain way. It's their husband's right to abuse them. It's their husband's right to do whatever he wants and get away with it. You know what I mean? So, you know, if the husband happens to be abusing her during the relationship, they come to that mentality that, oh, this is what husbands do. I need to become, I need to change myself. I need to do this, that, and the other. But no, some of them, they don't want to sit down and think, why must I change? I'm doing my best.
If you enter in a relationship that requires you to be the best version of yourself, that means you're just becoming a better person throughout the entire marriage. That's a good thing. But if you lose yourself, you forget totally who you were from the very beginning of the relationship, and then you look where you are right now and you're not the same person, this whole marriage has like drained the shit out of you. I'm just going to use the word shit. So it's that it has drained you so much. What is the worth? Where's the worth and where's the sense of all this thing? You know, like, for me, I think it's easy said than done, okay, to get out of this relationship. Just go and get the legal aid and get whatever support you need. Join my group. Join WSG. We give you the support and everything. And just, like, you know, gain the energy to go ahead with the divorce. It's easy said than done. But, like, what I told you, a lot of us don't have it in ourselves. First step, or to even talk about it, because you don't know, he might just come and slap you across your face for just putting that on the table as an option. Hey, let's get a divorce, you know?
Yeah, correct.
So it takes a lot of guts.
It takes a lot of guts. But one thing I need to remind women who are going through, other women who are listening in, is that don't be fooled. You know what you've been through. Don't be fooled by the sympathy created when you decide to make a step. When you decide to take a step, don't be fooled by the sympathy. Because I have seen women out there, smart women who actually decided that they're going to go ahead for a divorce. And then the next minute, their partner goes like, oh, I won't do it again. Please don't divorce me. You're everything. You're my life. You're my dream, blah, blah, blah. And then she falls back for the same shit. She thinks at the moment of time, okay, my threat to divorce him has woken him up, but no. They still go back.
Because he knows her in and out, and then it becomes a repetitive cycle where it just goes back and forth. And then, you know, that's how it is. So I think people need to recognize patterns, behavior of their partner.
Yeah,
you know, if you're not going to make it work, you don't have to push him all the way to a divorce, then he makes things work. You get what I'm saying?
Like,
a man or a woman, it goes for both genders. If you want to be in it, you have to be in it to give all of yourself to it.
True.
Okay,
true.
Marriage is two people's work. It's not one person's job. Two people signed up for it, so it's two people's job. And at any one point of time, one person is not doing their dutiful role as a husband or wife. And I think it's only fair that divorce is on the table.
Correct. It's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we have to look after ourselves and we have to put ourselves first.
Yeah.
We need to be happy in the relationship. We also need to take responsibility for our happiness, because our happiness is our responsibility and no one else's. Yeah. It's not your responsibility to make him happy.
Correct.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. We should all have our own lives. Even when we are married, we should take care of ourselves, our needs, our necessities, and not be so dependent on the other person to fulfill our life.
Correct. I think a marriage should be something that as a person, you when you get married to a person, you should be able to share that journey with the person, not help that person make that journey. So both of you have your own paths, both of you have your own dreams. The purpose of being married is actually to support each other throughout that journey, not help each other or be a slave for one person, and you know, in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So my words still goes the same. If you feel that you're in a shitty relationship, if you feel very down, if you feel very broken, do not wait. You know,
get out of it.
Yeah, you know what life you want. You know what life you deserve. And if it's not working for you, you shouldn't be afraid to step out. You shouldn't be afraid to voice out, then step out.
Mm.
Yeah.
We have a success story in our group. No names mentioned, but... when she joined our group, she was clearly going through the divorce with her kids, her boys.
Yep, correct.
Right? And today, and we watched her go through the whole custody issues, monetary issues, court up and down, and all that. We watched all of that.
Yep.
We even watched her getting hurt, like when he was with somebody else or something, and then she gets the information. We watch her get hurt. We watch her go through all the proceedings. But today, she is officially divorced from him. Yeah. And she's a totally different person. She's so happy, and she has become a pillar of strength for the other women in the group that are currently going through it or even wanting to attempt a divorce.
Yeah.
That there are some of them who are actually going through counseling, because the process is such that there needs to be mediation before the actual divorce, right?
Yeah, that's very true. But the thing is that one thing I saw in this person is a much happier side. She looks more fresh. She looks more happy. I remember during the proceedings and all that, she was super stressed out. She didn't know what to do. And it hurt her because, like I said before, she stepped into this marriage. She stepped into this relationship with a lot of dreams that this is how it's going to be. And then to sit down and watch it crumble.
We have to address one thing. The person she actually got married to was somebody from her childhood, right?
Yeah.
Somebody that she was already with before marriage for like so many years.
I think it was her secondary school sweetheart, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah. I mean, for other people, it would be high school. So
yeah,
high school sweetheart. So that is very heartbreaking because it's somebody that she literally grew up with, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, and she watched the person grow. She kind of like also made him like whoever he is today, you know, and she built a family with him, and it all came crumbling down almost instantly, and there's nothing that she could do about it except to take the exit ticket of divorce.
Yeah, correct.
So, like I was saying,
you know, it really broke her, and in a
it
sense
really
that,
broke her.
She actually envisioned a life for herself and her boys, and you know, this is how it's going to be. This was our dream. And then to sit down and watch everything crumble. And like we've also seen, she was very worried about what people would say, especially her relatives. So she was very worried about the backlash. And you know, I'm proud of her, actually, to be very honest. I'm proud of her today because it's not easy to do it single-handedly with two kids in hand. She did. There were several meltdowns and everything. But like I said, divorce is never an easy thing. Be it whether you are the person initiating the divorce or the person who received the divorce proceeding order.
It's not a walk in the park. We all know.
Yeah,
it comes with a lot of stress, a lot of judgment, a lot of people looking at you, one kind, a lot of decisions that you have to make for the long term if you have kids in the picture, you know, a lot of sacrifices you need to do.
Yeah,
a lot of things come into the picture. But the whole thing, I mean, the people need to realize one thing. It's not a walk in the park, yes. But the end product, the end place where you're going to be after the demos and everything, it's so much more better than what you are at right now.
It's a fresh start, to be very honest. It's a fresh start. And one thing that I've learned personally and I have seen other women personally is that you actually have to develop a thick skin when it comes to people questioning you about your divorce. Because in the end of the day, like I've told many of our ladies, in the end of the day, other people's opinion don't matter. You are going to feed your own self. You are going to take care of your own self. You're going to do everything for yourself. So unless they're providing food, unless they're providing shelter, unless they're giving you something, you shouldn't worry about what they say. Because people are going to talk. In the end of the day, your happiness, your emotional strength and everything matters.
And divorce is not going to make you less stronger. It's not going to make you weaker. It's not, you know, these are all myths. To be very honest, I have not met one person who has not felt better after a divorce. And I have not met one person who feels that they cannot achieve anything after a divorce. In fact, they feel more stronger after a divorce. Like, they feel they've learned a lot of things about taking care of themselves. They know that they need to go out and work and look after themselves. A lot of necessities boils down onto them. And they just become stronger people. So a divorce is not going to make you weaker. It's not going to make you look smaller. And you shouldn't give a damn about anyone. Because it's a decision that you made yourself to make yourself a better person. You know,
that's definitely true.
Yeah, so I mean, divorce made you a better person, right? You're so much more stronger than the person that I met a few years ago. Yeah, so
it made me a better person. I mean, I do admit, I got married at quite a young age. I got married at the age of 20. Actually, yeah, 20. The year I was turning 21. So I did forgo a lot of things that people my age were doing back then. People were partying, and because mainly because not because of marriage, but because I had a child as well. But I lost out in a lot of things. I lost out in a lot of experiences. And right now, and there are times where I sit down and I think, boy, I wish I could rewrite everything again. I would have done things differently. But my only thing is that yes, you get stronger. Yes, you get more wiser. But I would say, you know, during the first few months of getting a divorce or separating from the person, it can be an emotional wreck. Because you are so lost. You know that you want out from the relationship. You know you want out from the marriage. You know it's going to do you better. But especially I might be speaking out of my own experience. Maybe other ladies haven't faced it before. But when I first got up from my relationship, my marriage, it was like, I didn't know what to do in life. I didn't know what
because
else
you feel
I can
so
do.
Handicapped. You've been with that person for so many years. Then now that they are not with you, it's like a limb is missing or something. You know, you feel like a baby who's learning how to walk all over again.
Actually, I didn't feel that the limb. I was like, without that person, I was like, okay, now I'm free. What am I supposed to do? What can I do? What can I not do? Okay, so now everybody's gonna look at me as a divorcee. And at that point of time, I'm happy I made the decision today, but at that point of time, I gave myself a year to freak out, to enjoy myself, to take care of myself, to do things that I wanted to do, to feel the way I wanted to feel for that one year. And it made me a better person. I mean, people were telling me, oh, Lakshmi, what are you doing? After divorce, you should be like this, like that. And I was telling those people, no, screw it. Kept very quiet for many years. I was like a typical housewife that you see, you know, in Indian serials and all that. Yeah, and now that I have my freedom, I want to enjoy it. I am a mother, yes, but I need to take care of myself before that. I need to give myself that time, that enjoyment, that freedom, that relaxation that I needed so much.
Let's go on to one subtopic that we are really excited about, and that is self-care after divorce. It's like post-care, you know, like post-pregnancy, like it's post-care after divorce. And I know it's something that we should carry out throughout our entire life to take care of ourselves, but I think we need it a lot more, times two, times three, after going through a divorce, because it is emotionally draining. It is physically, it could take a toll on you. You can forget about eating. You can forget about sleep. You can forget about a lot of things. You can gain weight out of just giving birth, right? I mean, we all know that. But self-care. Now, when we talk about self-care, are we just talking about manicures, pedicures, going out with the girls? What is self-care?
Okay. Self-care, there are two. Like you mentioned before, there are two aspects to self-care. One is taking care of yourself emotionally, and the other one is taking care of yourself physically. Now, if you look carefully, again, based off my experience, what I've seen in the society and everything, women who normally come out from divorces, you normally see them very shriveled, very like tired, haggard, like, you know, they just went through like World War III or World War II and something like that and come out.
Don't even start World War IV.
Yes.
It looks World like War that. Yeah, it's like they've gone through outfield, or, you know, they've been staying in the jungle for 10 years or something.
Yeah, so they come out like that. And then first thing I would say, to all women who are considering. I am not promoting divorce. Let us be very, very clear about this. We're not promoting divorce. But for people who actually made the decision to step out from their marriage and proceed with the divorce, the number one thing I suggest for anyone to do is to take care of their emotional well-being first. Because when you take care of yourself emotionally, physically, it would show in you. So that's what I did. And that's what a lot of women do. So my suggestion, go out. Do things that make you happy internally. Not to show that you're happy outside, but things that make you happy inside. Like things that you've wanted to do during your marriage. Like, I don't know, go for a spa day. Take up yoga class. Anything. Anything that gives you inner peace and starts healing you inside emotionally, that is first thing that women should look for after going through this divorce, in my opinion at least.
Some women don't want to overly do like self-care. They don't want to make it obvious that they're having a good time or whatever because they're afraid of what other people will think. Like, hey, you just came out of a divorce. Why are you so happy and all that kind of stuff? Like, are you waiting for this? Or, you know, they care so much about other people. Now, when I say self-care, it's not caring about these punks, not about these people. It's caring about yourself. And correct. I think it's very important for a woman, a man or woman, whoever, any human should have a close knitted group where they can go to for emotional support or just someone they can talk to. If a woman doesn't have someone that she can talk to, this whole entire divorce is going to take a huge toll on her.
That's true. That's very true.
I think I would have been in a better state to make decisions and everything if I had that one voice of support,
I was just about to bring it to attention. As in, when I was going through divorce, to be honest, my only pillar of support, my dad, even he didn't know I was going through it because I refused to tell him. Okay, I mean, he's never judged me in life, but the thing is that I was so afraid that this might seem like another disappointment to him. And I closed myself. The mistake I did was I closed myself. I built up super high walls. And that's what I was actually facing at the point of time. And, you know, things would have been better if I had, like, a group of friends who I could really trust, not the ones who are here to join the ride of enjoyment that follows the divorce, but ones who actually sit down and cares for your emotional well-being. I didn't have that. I thought I had that, but I actually didn't have that. I had a lot of people.
How do you recognize that group? How do you know that these people actually care about you? And then there are a few people who just listen and they actually talk shit about you behind your back. So,
there are a lot of them out there, actually. But the thing is that I didn't really have anybody at that point of time. I did have one friend. But then she was going through things herself. So I didn't really want, I felt the need. I mean, she didn't expect me to close off myself, but I felt that I didn't want to burden her with my problems as well. So it built the stress and all that actually built up in me. And that's when I started having this short outburst. I think the only person who has seen this outburst is my sister. I've never been a very loud person. At that point of time, at least. Now it's a bit different. I haven't been a very loud person. I'm very quiet. And the fact that I actually had that outburst was, according to my sister, quite alarming. Because she's never seen me like that before. And that's when I noticed, after the incident, that's when I realized is that if only I had a group of friends. I don't need it. We need a group. I just needed that one person to sit there and listen to me. To tell me that things, even if it's not going to be okay, I needed that one person there to sit down and tell me that, you know, this is going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Things are going to be fine. But the sad part is I didn't have anybody like that. I had people telling me, people calling me like, let's go and drink, let's go and party, you're divorced, you should enjoy your life now. But nobody sat there and wanted to listen to my story at all. And it made it very difficult for me. So yes, coming back to the point that you mentioned, the first part of the emotional well-being would be to have, it doesn't have to be a group, but somebody who can be there for you during that time.
I think everyone needs that one person to go through something like that and not have any form of support. It's just so screwed up. It's not going to be easy. Yeah. It's not going to be easy because you don't have that one person to pick you up in your darkest days when you really feel that you cannot go through the next day at court with a divorce. You don't want to face him or whatever it is. You need that one voice behind you to tell you, you know what, you can do this. The end is so near. It's going to be all worth it. You know, you need that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't have that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are lucky enough, you have the courage to go through everything. But then there are a lot of people out there who don't have that kind of support. And they feel they cannot because they are alone. And that is why I also urge people to join us, have a conversation with us and talk to us. Like, you're not alone. We want to reach out. We want to keep you. You know, if you are not comfortable with talking to your own friends about it, then talk to us because we don't know your friends.
Right.
So and we're not here to judge. There's zero judgment. It could be anyone's fault in a divorce, but getting through it, I think women should pick other women up.
We should
be there for each other.
That's very, very true.
Now I know we wanted to talk about children in divorce and everything, but we have actually hit our threshold for today's podcast time. So it is something that we're going to talk about.
This is a never-ending topic.
Yeah, it's a never-ending
topic. We have a lot
to
share on this topic.
But we will talk about children who are going through divorce, who are a part of the divorce, what happens to the child. I have my family has gone through divorce, so I am a child who was in divorce. So I and you yourself, I think we can talk about this very more in depth in the next episode, which is going to be like a part two of this
continuation. Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so we would like to say our goodbyes.
Yes, that's right.
Right? And we will see you in the next episode where we talk about children who are going through divorce.
Definitely.
Okay.
So, catch y'all guys in the next episode.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.